This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, 8 o'clock hour here, Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle. It is brought to you this hour by Precor Home Fitness. It is 710 day. It is July 10th. We are 710, and so we'll be giving away a pair of Mariners tickets coming up here in a half hour at 8:30. As we said, it's the Pearl Jam fireworks night against Chicago on July 20th, so pretty cool. We'll give those away, talk a little bit about 710 day coming up at 8:30. Also, John Morosi usually would join us at 9 o'clock today, but we're moving things around a little bit because Chris Peterson, Husky head coach, is going to join us at 9:30. So because of that, John was gracious enough to do it an hour earlier, and so here we find John Morosi on the Venue Kings Hotline. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning, and I hope that adjusting this one segment time will put me in the good graces of Coach Peterson, so that way we get good seats when we come out for that Michigan-Washington game, and I believe the fall of 2020. So I've got that on the calendar. Just let Coach Peterson know we're excited to come out there.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm talking sideline passes. Seats.
I appreciate it, Brock.
Mr. Morosi, you consider it done. I don't have the power to do it, but you consider it done. I'm going to get you some sideline passes.
I appreciate
passes.
It. Thank you.
Yes. John, how worried should we
be? We will hope to similarly show great hospitality when the Huskies come to play at Michigan. I believe it's the next year. I think it's a home and home. I believe, Brock, you probably know better than me, but I think it's back-to-back years, 20 and 21. So we'll make sure we appropriately celebrate both those games.
How many times have you been to the Big House?
Me? Probably 20, 25 in my life.
Scale of 1 to 10, how awesome is it?
I think it's about a 9.5. I mean, I think that it's there are aspects of it where maybe at times I will say, admittedly, as an Ann Arborite myself, at times it will get a little quieter than it should.
Yep.
But that is literally the only complaint that I've got.
I would agree.
It's actually the renovations they've had keep the noise in a little better than it did before, because now there's a bit more height to it. Before it was just a big saucer bowl type arrangement. Now with the luxury boxes, it keeps the noise in a little better. And I'll tell you what, it's a special time when, usually in the third quarter or so, when they announce the attendance, and I think, but for a couple of years when I believe Penn State or Tennessee had passed Michigan briefly, I think in the 90s sometime, this has been the custom now for probably 50-some years, longer than that, they announce the attendance and they say, you are the largest crowd of people watching football anywhere in America today, and the place goes crazy.
That's crazy.
And that even happens even when the Buckeye fans are here, they even cheer at that, because it's special. You think about everybody coming together, two universities all the same place, and appreciating one of our national sports. Is pretty unique moments. That's a moment that I always look forward to. I always try to make sure I'm not talking or thinking about something else at the time, and just really appreciate what that says, and it's a pretty cool moment.
Then they all get to hang out in traffic with the other 100,000 people.
No,
that are trying to get.
No. That's
traffic.
What I was going to say,
just
bro.
Just escape?
It is the best.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
It's a 10 of 10. The way they handle their traffic,
it's
unbelievable.
All right, I don't want to be, immodest there and brag too much. But yeah, okay, 10 out of 10 sounds good.
John, most importantly, how worried should we be here about the A's?
I'll tell you what. It's a developing story, to be sure. And last night, of course, they win the game in Houston. A bit of a nail-biter at the end for them, but trying to close it out. They are, and I checked with the source on this last night from the A's, I mean, their current thought process is at least they're going to hold at the deadline and probably going to buy. And if they buy, it's going to be a rental starter. And so all of a sudden now, the Mariners may have some competition, whether it's, you know, if Jay Happ is the name everybody wants, the A's are going to be in on him too. So it's a really interesting developing story there for the A's. And this is not just a good week. I mean, they've been playing really good baseball for about the last month. And their pitching, I think, will get healthier as time goes on a little bit. They've been without Chris Davis at times. Now he has come back. They've been without Matt Chapman. Now he's back. So it's a team that's benefiting, I think, from maybe some diminished expectations outwardly. And they now have a surprisingly competitive offense. And their bullpen is tremendous, backed up by an all-star closer in Trinan. So I think that there's a lot to like about the way that they're constructed. And if I'm a Mariner fan, I guess what I would say is this. There are 10 games left between those two teams. And for it to be a real meaningful swing within those 10 games, the A's probably have to go 7-3 at the very least. That picks up four games. I still think the Mariners are in a great spot, but the interesting dynamic of this for Oakland is it's not as though they're chasing four teams. They're chasing one team. It's the team they're playing a bunch, and there's nobody else between them. It's a really unique structure of the American League where in some years you might be four or five games out of the wild card, but five teams back, and that puts you almost out of the race. These guys are, you know, six games out or so, but they've only got one team they're looking at, and that I think is worth at least being a little concerned if you're a Mariner.
John Morosi with us, one of our favorites, joins us every other week. He's with MLB Network, but so much more than that. He's a Michigan insider. He's with the NHL. He does just about everything. So let me ask you this. I'll set it up this way. You're playing a hand of poker, all right? And you can either have the Oakland A's hand or you can have the Mariners hand in this regard. You can either have the Oakland A's prospects that they've got in their farm system to play around with here in this month of July, or you have the Mariners bank account. Be it $6-7 million from Robbie Cano in an ownership group that I think is willing to spend if they've got to spend. Which would you rather have in this market? Some of the finances of the Mariners or some of the prospects of the A's?
I would take the Mariners finances because I think that the ability to be able to take on the full salary of a player, for example, is going to be unique in this market, and here's why. You've got a lot of buyers, Dodgers, Giants, Red Sox, Yankees, who are at or close to the luxury tax threshold. And so the ability of a GM to pick up the phone and talk to the Blue Jays, for example, and say, hey, listen, I can take on every last penny of J-Hap's contract. Now, I think the Yankees can probably do the same thing if they're being honest, and I think they've been maybe a little coy about just how much money they still have in terms of flexibility. But in general, not a lot of other clubs like the Dodgers, for example, and the Giants and the Red Sox are not going to be able to say that. And so I think that opens up some possibilities for the Mariners that maybe do not exist for other buying teams. And the overall supply of starting pitching, I think we're seeing some new names come on the board. I think Lance Lynn is a possibility to watch closely because the Twins are now sellers. That's a new development, I think, in the last several weeks since we talked in studio. So I think that there are going to be enough starters out there where if the Mariners want to upgrade, they can. And I think overall that financial benefit that you mentioned, Brock, is going to be a huge, huge point in the favor of the Mariners going forward.
What do you make of Gene Segura's chances to end up getting into this All-Star game as the extra fan vote?
Well, he belongs there. He deserves it. I'm personally rooting for Gene. The tough part is that in this the final vote, which by the way, I think it's all in good fun. Anything that to me engages fans and gets people feeling excited about their hometown team, or even more aware of great players around the major leagues, I think is a really good thing. But the fact that there's this alliance of the Yankees and Dodgers, these two plucky small market underdog teams to get their awareness out on their players is a little challenging to say the least if you're the Mariners here. But the Mariners got a phenomenal marketing department, as you know, very active on social media. So I think they're going to do everything they can to get Gene Segura into the All-Star game. But it's a tough year to be a shortstop in the American League when you think about Manny Machado moving over from third base to shortstop and to the existing Correa and Lindor and Didi Gregorius group. And Andrelton Simmons, of course, also part of that, the final vote. So it's a hard year to be an American League shortstop, but Gene Segura belongs, and I am certainly pulling for him to get there.
John Morosi, the MLB Network, with us. It's been now a couple weeks. You referenced being in studio with us a couple weeks ago. Since you saw us, you've traveled to Boston all over. I love following you, and I love what you do on Twitter as well, John. Anything now you look back on? As more of this season has evolved, you kind of put these weeks together and now these months together, and you look back at your experience and your weekend here in Seattle, and you compare it with the rest of your travels in Boston and New York and Houston and everywhere else. Anything kind of resonate or a mark that was left by this Seattle team and organization in your weekend here?
Well, a couple things, Brock. I would say this. The game that we covered, that Saturday game, the Wade LeBlanc 1-0 game, still my favorite game of the year. Just the everything about the ballpark that day, the weather, the performance by Wade LeBlanc, and, of course, on Father's Day weekend, that we were able to tell the story during the course of the game about his kids giving him the Wade LeBlanc Award as for being a great dad. And then, of course, he gets the extension here in the last couple weeks. So that was to me a really special story that I'm going to carry with me probably forever. It was just a great memory. And I think, too, just the way this team has been able to come back, that was a tough series. They were able to come back and win that game on the Friday night with Span coming up as a pinch hitter. And was that stretch ideal from a Mariners standpoint once they went to Boston and New York? You know, probably not, but they withstood it. They have come out and they still have a winning percentage of .626. When you have a winning percentage above .600 in baseball, you are an excellent team. And this is not just for a couple months. This is now almost to the All-Star break, and the Mariners have a .626 winning percentage. That's extraordinary. I mean, that is obviously not on pace for the record like we saw in 01, but it's a great year. And so I think this is one of those teams where I remember, I think the mantra was when I was in town and at the ballpark, like, hey, we've gotten ourselves in a great position. We've had a really strong start to the year. You don't want to have to rely on this, but if you play basically 500 ball once you've started this well, usually you're going to go to the playoffs, usually. And, of course, the A's, we realize where they're at and how well they're playing right now. But I'll stand by that and say, I think based on what I saw that weekend in Seattle and even the next weekend when they played the Red Sox, I think the offense is going to be able to sustain themselves, maybe mix in one more starting pitcher, and then, of course, that they've got the best closer going right now in Diaz. So that, to me, is the formula for a postseason team, and the best part about baseball is we have a long time to find that out here over the next 2.5 months.
John, this has been a really weird team to watch day in, day out. They really are. I mean, and some of it is because of how horrid a lot of the American League is, but they're just odd. I mean, they seem to have a real dichotomy between what your eyes tell you and what the numbers tell you. And there are three or four players in this team. I mean, Kyle Seager's numbers, the stats people will tell you he's playing just fine. Your eyes tell you he's been an offensive disaster for him. Mike Zunino, there's a group of people who say, you know, the numbers for a catcher are actually pretty good. Your eyes, when you watch him play, other than the 475-foot home runs, they're not good. You don't get extra runs for hitting it farther over the fence than 1 foot. And then there are other guys. I mean, D. Gordon's numbers are awful, and yet you watch him day in, day out. He's been fantastic. Ryan Healy, bad numbers as a first baseman, and yet he's won them games and has contributed in such a unique way. How do you balance those things out as somebody who follows the game as closely as you do?
It's a great question, Mike. I would say this, that there are still teams that when you have a couple key ingredients, and I think for the Mariners this year it's been that they have won all these one-run games because they've got a dominant closer. And that one player, it's a fascinating conversation every year about closers as Cy Young candidates. I personally think, and obviously there's the Mookie Betts and Mike Trout and Machado and others that are in the MVP conversation among position players. In some respects, a closer is a better MVP candidate than a Cy Young candidate. I don't think Diaz is going to win the MVP, but if I've got a 10-person ballot, he may have a place on that ballot. Because I don't know if there's been a single player on this team, maybe Paxton, but I think that has had more to do with this team being where they are than Diaz. Because you win that many one-run games, that's if a closer is just average, the Mariners have probably five fewer wins right now, and they're basically tied with Oakland. I mean, that's the difference of this one player. So I think the one-run games, to me, that's a huge part of the story. That speaks to defense winning you games, and I go back to that again, the Wade LeBlanc game, the D. Gordon's defense in that game, those amazing. He made three amazing plays up the middle in that one game alone. That candidly, Robbie probably does not get to. And that's going to be, I think, one of the more fascinating parts for this team to reckon with once Cano comes back. Because you know what's going to happen. There's going to be some games that happen, and I think everybody just has to be honest about this, that if Cano's playing second base and if D is either in the outfield or on the bench, there's going to be a couple balls a game, or at least one, that is going to roll through the infield that everybody's going to say, well, D would have had that ball. And it's going to be incumbent on everybody that's a part of the organization to sort of not let that get to them,
right,
to just go on forward and for Robbie, on his own accord, to make sure he out-hits that difference, whatever that ends up being. It's hard to quantify that, but it's real and it's there. And for the pitching staff and everybody to sort of allocate for that and to move on. But that is going to happen. That is going to happen, which is one of the reasons why I think we're going to see a fair amount of Robbie playing first base, or maybe even DHing at times if Nelson gets involved in the outfield. I mean, it's just D. Gordon, and you said it, Mike, D. Gordon's energy is so important to this team that having that heart and soul player in the middle part of the diamond has a really hard to quantify impact, but it's there. And that's going to be a huge decision for Scott Service and for the players to kind of diffuse that, whatever that burden ends up being, because D is is a great force. His personality, his energy, and whatever games they have Robbie play there, which they're going to have to play. And Cano's a great player still. To have him play there, it's going to take some of that away, and it's going to be a really interesting dynamic to watch unfold how the Mariners make up for that.
JP, we were talking the other day.
I answered all of them.
Any of them. You don't really care.
Some less savory nicknames as well, Brock, along
okay,
the way.
Perfect.
Too,
so you care? You don't care. Good. I'm glad we got that.
I don't care.
last thing from my perspective. Can this team sit idle? You mentioned they're playing 620 whatever ball, and if they play 500 here on out, they're going to win 90 games. But can this team in this playoff race, and with what's coming up behind them, and even what sits in front of them at three games back of Houston, can they afford to sit idle for the next 3 weeks?
I think they have to make some move. It doesn't have to be a big one, though. I think I've seen it before, and I go back to the Giants in 2012. That there was a lot of noise about who they should have been going after. They got Marco Scudero, and he was the MVP of the NLCS, and he was the big difference maker for them. I think one of the good parts about the Mariners is they don't really have, in my estimation, an obvious everyday player vacancy. They've got a bit of an outfield rotation at times when everybody's healthy. I think that's good. They've brought in Span to upgrade the bench and the complementary players, which I think is already happened there. So I think that's to me, I would leave the position player club set. But I think you can always get a little more experience in the bullpen and in the rotation as well. And I think that you've got a lot of relievers on this staff who've certainly had good seasons, but there's not a lot of them that have a ton of October experience. And I think having that one extra guy, maybe even a Tyler Clippard type, somebody that's, or John Axford, somebody that's got some experience there that can help settle a game down late, I think those are valuable guys. Even if they're not necessarily pitching huge innings, just having that veteran in the bullpen, even for that settling presence late in the game, in the big games in September, in October, there's value there. So I would expect Jerry Dipoto, we all know he's not been afraid to make moves, and I think he'll continue to be similarly bold and build up maybe some of that depth in the bullpen and maybe that last spot in the rotation or two to help have a bit more insurance for those big games down the stretch.
I like the Tyler Clippard name. I hadn't heard that thrown out there before. A guy still strikes people out. His strikeout ratio is still over 10 per nine innings. I mean, even at 33 years old, he's been around forever. I remember when he came up with the Yankees as a kid. He's still a guy who gets strikeouts, and if you need a wipeout righty at the end of games and the seventh, eighth inning to get some of the big-time righties out there, maybe he's an option, and at his age, maybe you can buy the salary. John, always good to catch up with you. We'll do it again in a couple weeks. Thank you for doing it at an odd time. When we talk to you next, we'll be a week away from the trade deadline, so we'll be ready to go. Awesome.
The landscape will change between now and then, and I'm now already looking forward to it. And please give Coach Peterson my regards. I'm already looking forward to those games there in a few years. All right.
Awesome. Thanks, John. We'll talk to you soon. There you go. There's John Morosi.
Thank you, John.
Every other week with us on Tuesdays, usually at 9 o'clock from the MLB Network there on the Venue Kings Hotline.
I'm glad he made his last point. I had actually scribbled it down here in the couple minutes we have before we get to celebrate you, a bunch of listeners at 8:30. You look at this roster, Mike, and whether it is the position players, Healy and Zanino, Gamble and Seager, none of them have postseason experience. You know, how many of them have been playing in games in September where it really means something? You know, I think stats guys may not say that's quantifiable. I'm sorry. I think that there is something that speaks to that background and experience of just slowing the heartbeat down. Of not gripping the bat any tighter, of knowing, and hey, trusting it, like this is same game, right? Same infield, same innings, same everything else, but you know that the stakes are going to continue to grow for this team. And so be it a positional player, be it someone in the bullpen, be it a starter, having somebody that's been there before, I don't think would be a bad thing. I think I would like to, in fact, see that on a resume of somebody they go after. Not only that's likable and selfless to fit with this team, but has played in some of those meaningful games when it matters in September and even in October.
Well, I'll consider myself intrigued on Tyler Clippard. We heard the name Adam Ottavino, who then we got to see this week. I can't imagine that the Rockies are going to be trading relievers at the deadline, but that was the name that Jeff Passan mentioned last week. The Rockies have been on a hot streak, so I mean, Ottavino, by the way, looked really, really good coming in to pitch against the Mariners. Some of these other right-handed relievers, that's still going to be my focal
You feel
point.
Like right now, as we sit here, what is it, July 10th, and we're still 3 weeks away from the deadline, and there's still going to be a bunch of baseball to learn next week before the break and even coming out of it. Do you feel like just a reliever Just one move, or is that an?
There may be a way to. I mean, the nice. I mean, you look at Toronto, and so what if the move is because you're buying it in cash, and you're able to take on both the salary of both Jay Happ and Tyler Clippard? Like, is that how you end up getting something done? You know what I mean? Where now you're adding two pieces, they come over together. You probably don't have to give up that much in prospects, or at least that's the hope, because you're willing to take up all that money. I mean, yeah. Unfortunately, they're Clipper doesn't get paid that much. He was only making $1.5 million this year. And I believe Happ is making, I forget, I saw it earlier and I'm blanking on it now, but it's enough that I think it's 18 maybe.
Yeah.
Enough that maybe together you could take the money off their hands and that's enough for Toronto to do the deal.
Yeah.
But that seems, again,
12, I think.
Is it only 12?
36 over 3.
Okay, so that's not a, I mean, is that enough to convince Toronto that they don't need big time
they're
going to
need prospects, and they're going to have teams, and
you don't have
a bunch of Mitch and be it even now Oakland and the Yankees and you know, a bunch of teams, National League teams, a bunch of contenders there. And unlike the American League, where it's clearly, as John Morosi said, the Mariners.
Yeah.
And that's the target for the A's and the Angels. In the National League, it feels a whole lot more like last year, much more wide open.
This is why, you know, each time anyone mentions a name to me, and Jeff Passan was giving me grief about it last week when we were talking about Ottavino. Oh, what, you just look up his baseball reference? Yeah, because I don't know what relievers are being paid or how many years of club control they have left. And in baseball, those things, I know it sounds weird, those things are almost as important as their skill. Yep. How much money they are still being paid left on their deal is enormously important. I know Adam Ottavino is a good player. The question is, are the Rockies trying to get out of that contract or willing to move on because they see him as an albatross contract?
Sure.
And those are, unfortunately for the Mariners, the type of guys that they're looking for. And yet you hear you hear Morosi there say, hey, that might actually be an advantage because Boston and Houston and New York and
all
Oakland and all those teams,
tax, yeah.
they either don't have money to spend or they're up against luxury tax. And they have prospects.
Yes.
You have the opposite. So maybe that's enough to kind of get
And that luxury tax is important. That's not just writing a check like the NBA. That starts to now cost you draft picks.
Yes.
So the Major League Baseball actually put a little teeth to that instead of just saying, no, don't just the big rich markets, don't just cut us a check. We're actually going to, you know, try to cut your knees out a little bit with future draft picks.
You just
too.
Keep going through the teams that you've seen this year that may be sellers and looking for the good right-handed relievers because you've seen them. I mean, you saw Tampa. I know you took 6 out of 7 from them, but do you remember Chaz Rowe? You might remember him because he was a Mariner briefly. He was actually the deal they made for Jose Lopez. They got back Chaz Rowe, and then they cut him or traded him soon afterwards. He never did anything here. That was about 10 years ago or 8 years ago. But he surfaced now as a pretty darn good wipeout righty type of reliever. I don't know whether Tampa's going to make another deal, but he might be an option. Somebody here on the text machine mentioning Jose Leclerc. You've seen him pitch for the Rangers
filthy.
A couple. Yeah, he's got real filthy,
filthy
stuff. I don't know whether he's got the command or control that you'd trust
him. And he'd
him
be
in
a young guy
spot.
That's not been in any big spots.
No, totally different type of player. But you know, I'm just saying, as you go through these series and play against the dregs, look and see how many guys are out there that you think you might like as a right-handed reliever late in games.
And as you go through them, in beginning tonight down in Anaheim for 3, test your gut and your heart. And what is it saying as your scoreboard watching Houston and Oakland going, all right, do we have enough? You know, John Morosi just said it very clearly. This is an elite team. When you play 620-plus baseball in the big leagues, you are an elite team, and not for a month or 2 months. Now it's nearly 90 games of this season. Do you feel elite, or do you feel like you need to add a little bit more?
I feel right, like I'd like to add a little bit more and keep Oakland far away. And I wanted to hear him say they'd be selling, not buying. I don't want them buying. All right, Brock, coming up next, I want to use two words that we don't say nearly enough here on this station, and I want to talk about a little story on what it means to be a sports fan. It's next on Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com. Hard to say no.
This is what you asked for.
It is. I like it. For Gene. Genie in the ball. Did this fit, Lydia, this morning? Did this fit your theme?
Dude, she's running the dials. Will you stop talking to her while she's working?
Why can't you answer? That room is weird today.
Yeah, they're fired up.
Well, it's hard
at
because
yeah.
when you talk back, I get cut off from the sound that's going out of the air.
That's right.
And I want to make you sound good, Saul.
That's exactly right.
I'm just talking
trying
to
make
you.
Us look good.
Help me help
Kyle's
you.
Kyle's here every day producing for us. He didn't appreciate you taking shots at him last hour, proving he was wrong about something. So he's super bitter. You guys probably can't even play golf together. Howdy, what are you doing, Howdy?
I'm just running like a hamster on a wheel.
Good.
Amazing.
Good. I told Saul he had to make a list. Salk said, hey, remind me after my little spot to make a list. So
I got a list. I got five things I want to do right now.
Nine minutes.
Row,
Here we go.
Five things I want to do in 9 minutes. First thing I want to do is say thank you to everybody. Today is 710 day. It is July 10th, 710. This is 710 ESPN Seattle. It is our ninth year. We will be coming up next April on our 10-year anniversary of this station being in existence. And every year on 710 day, and I probably tell the story also, on April for right around opening day when our station first launched. Heck, I might say something again in 4 days on 714 when you and I restarted our show four years ago. In 4 days, our show will have been on as long here in time two as we were in iteration number one.
Is that true?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Wow.
4 years it'll be back after being on for 4 years.
It was 2 years ago on 710 day. Marvin Demoff had a segment that was also 4 years long.
3 years ago, and that was not good. I think he's still talking on the phone. Yep. We hung up on him, but he's actually still talking. Anyway, I like to say thank you on this day because it was in no way guaranteed that this station was going to succeed. And in fact, the opposite was true. This station was about to not succeed.
Mm-hmm.
There were legitimate conversations going on with people well above our pay grade, Brock, about whether or not to shut this station down after less than a year. I had moved out here from Seattle or from Boston. You had taken a job here. Calabro was here. Jessamine had moved out from the Northeast at that point as well. Owen was our original program director. He had been recently been let go. And there were some real conversations about whether or not this station would succeed, whether or not there was room for another sports station here in Seattle. And our ratings were awful. Mm-hmm. The revenue was terrible. I mean, there was a lot of signs. The economy was a disaster. There was a lot of signs pointing to don't bet on this station. In fact, pull the plug, put Cairo back on 710, and just forget about it.
And you know what's great? I was oblivious to all
we
of it.
We all were, thankfully.
I had no idea.
It is a tremendous, our boss, Dave.
Yeah.
It is a tremendous testament to him that none of us knew anything about
that. Oh, you guys are doing great. We love you nodding on the air. You and the Salk guy that hate each other and fight all the time. It's going really well.
There were a few people that believed in us above us, and thankfully they rose to the occasion, starting with our boss, Dave, going up through Carl and other people as well, who just said, no, we believe in this station. We're going to continue to give it a shot. And we had a new program director come in. His name is Brian. We called him Lumberg, too. Mm. But Brian did an incredible job and I think made some small tweaks and changes to the station that have allowed us to continue to exist today. And none of that is possible without incredible listener support. So thank you to everybody who listens to this station. Thank you for making it a part of your morning, your afternoon, your midday, your nights, the play-by-play with the Seahawks and the Mariners, the Cougs, et cetera. Mm. It couldn't happen. I mean, honestly, the radio business is so fickle. It is so fragile. Things change so often in this business that we really could not do it without all of the listeners. And we really, really appreciate you guys sticking around to listen to us these last 9 years.
Yeah, I heard Wyman say a little bit of this yesterday. I know this is on your list to get to. Is there an awesome giveaway that they're going to do over the next few weeks as well? And he was saying, yeah, I was at a gas station. A guy was talking about this. And that funny little story Danny told the other day. And he's right. I mean, the wedding party down in Sacramento over the weekend. Like, or in the Bay Area, like, what can you? Yeah, I listen to you guys' podcast. Can you just give me a little shout out? I mean, those things that just, yeah, it matters. And it's a little reminder, like Dave said, sometimes we're in a studio and maybe on a day where we're fighting, like today, maybe we've got, you know, some little challenges within the show. And we just think so insular of what's going on in here and not realizing it really is all you outside that make this thing work.
Well, thank you.
You guys
want
to hear Matt Hasselbeck from day
one?
First day?
Yeah, please.
Cutting some lines.
I love
Sports
that.
Insider? What's a sports insider?
You know, like
a John Clayton?
Yeah, like a John Clayton.
Paisley.
Just whatever you're ready. Just
okay. Just those two?
Yeah,
Brock and Salk? Oh, Salk. Is it Salk?
Salk.
Or? I thought it was Salk. No, that's when you have like Kevin Calabro? How do you say it?
Calabro?
I should know that, shouldn't I?
First guest in the history of the show, Matt Hasselbeck.
Hey, what's up? This is Matt Hasselbeck, and you're listening to Brock and Salk on 710 ESPN Seattle. Seahawks, Mariners, and Sports Insiders.
Oh, God, you remember that Seahawks, Mariners, and Sports Insiders tag?
He really believed in us.
Yeesh.
Now, back to Brock and Salk.
On 710 ESPN Seattle and MyNorthWest.com.
Seahawks, Mariners, and Sports Insiders.
It's the worst clip of Dave Niehaus of all time. It's like Rabel saying Seahawks. And then they have this time. What is wrong? Why does Niehaus sound like that?
MyNorthWest.com.
Seahawks, Mariners.
Why does he sound like that? Dave Niehaus must have said the word Mariners well over 5 million times in his life. And somehow Owen chose the one time where he sounds ridiculous saying it.
Mariners.
He wasn't buying this.
Terrible. Nobody was. Anyway, so in order to say thank you, let us quickly give away some tickets here. We'll give it to the 710th caller?
Yeah.
Let's give it to the 7th caller.
7th.
7th caller, just to say thank you for showing up and for being over at Druid's Glen today, which is where we celebrate 710 Day, playing a little golf, and for listening all these last 9-plus years. For, 7th caller, 206-421-3776, wins a couple tickets to the July 20th Mariners game. They'll host the White Sox. Fans are invited to stay after the game to celebrate Seattle's own Pearl Jam with a fireworks show featuring all of your favorite songs by the legendary band. Find great seats at Mariners.com. And seriously, legitimate thank you to all you guys. When I think about it, I think about sports fans. And I was at this brunch over the weekend, and I was talking to two middle-aged women who I love, very, very nice people, and both actually listen to the station at times. And they were talking about their middle school-aged, I don't know, his nephew or something like that. And like, well, he just knows every statistic. He knows all the players on all, and like who they play for. Can you believe it? And I was like, you know, I'm being nice because I'm like, yeah, that's amazing. But what I eventually said was, yeah, he's a sports fan.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, what do you mean? It's like, that's how sports fans are.
Mm-hmm.
I know you think that your middle school nephew is this incredible protege because he knows a lot of the players.
Right.
And maybe he is. But the reality is that's how sports fans are.
Yep.
And I just found myself thinking about how cool that is, that there is this weird little inside club, because there are a lot of people to whom that is, how do you possibly know all these players and teams and stats and what the Mariners did two nights ago? It's like, well, because I'm a sports fan.
Yep.
And there are so many of us out there that there are enough for a couple sports stations in town and the opportunity to talk literally about sports 24 hours a day,
yep,
7 days a week is amazing.
Pretty cool.
Can you imagine not being a sports fan? Like, can you imagine not knowing those things?
No.
I
can't imagine.
Right?
That.
Like, I just can't imagine not. I mean, look, I don't mean every player and every team and every stat. And certainly we all screw up names of certain Romines. But, like, can you imagine not.
Or Ahmed Savin.
Not knowing and caring and just having a general understanding of what's going on across the sports landscape?
Not really. Not really. I mean, especially not for me as a coach's son. This is what I've known my whole life growing up, and certainly marrying a very sporty basketball player and having sporty kids and everything else. Yeah, it's just absolutely been a part of our life. And to get to do this every single day and to talk sports and to have so many, I shouldn't say so many, but many of you out there just such a part of this thing. You're right. 710 Day is a pretty special day.
All right. Thank you to everybody. Also, just a little reminder, something pretty cool going on with Danny Dave and Moore. Hopefully you heard their big announcement yesterday. It's the 6 degrees of Danny Dave and Moore. They got a list of 100 different people that can call in that you can get to call in. And the prize is insane. The prize is season tickets to the Seahawks this year. Season tickets to the Seahawks this year, if you can get the best person off their list of 100 to call into their show and do a quick little interview with Danny, Dave, and Moore. So it starts, what, next Monday? And they'll have details all throughout the week.
Did you help with the list?
I did not.
You did not help at all?
I did not help one.
It was totally them.
I made one suggestion to the list. Okay. I asked for them to put Lloyd McClendon on, which is because I thought it would be funny.
Yes.
And the person that they had on originally, we had to remove.
Okay.
So Lloyd McClendon is the one name.
Is the one that you wanted. All right.
Kyle and Howdy and I thought about Lloyd McClendon as being a good fit.
Howdy, did Howdy get any poll? Did you have any polls?
No.
No, I had no poll.
No,
you
poll.
Had no poll.
No.
Kyle, no
zero
poll.
Nope.
You can go to 710sports.com to see the whole list. It is a there are some really cool names. Maybe we'll go over a few of those tomorrow. So, we want to take a quick look at what's going on with the All-Star voting. We'll do that coming up in 20 minutes at 9 o'clock and see how Gene Segura is doing all across the country. Maybe some surprises in there before we do any of it. We'll see what's in the news. It's next. I'm Brock and Salk.
Good news.
Yeah!
Bad news.
Yeah!
No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
All right, this hour brought to you by Precor Home Fitness, Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com. Oh, Lydia's so excited. Lydia's not going to be able to focus. We've lost Lydia. They got Send Segura t-shirts?
There's special delivery
for
here.
You, I would hope. How many times have you voted? Does it come special delivery with a pair of, like, Ryan Healy's cleats?
Wow.
Can we all get know you wouldn't want that.
Can we get a used Ben Gamble game sock? What's in the news?
Good news, bad news, no news.
The A's beat the Astros last night to narrow Houston's AL West lead to just 3 games.
Yeah, that's good news. That is good news. Keep it going, A's. Sure, I don't care that you're 17-4, you're fourth in the league in home runs, you're dynamic at the back end of your bullpen, and you played the best baseball over the last month. I don't care about any of that. What I care about is Mariners closing the gap with Houston because I have not let that dream die. I'm still believing in the American League West. And Houston has shown you, by the way, in little spurts that they go to sleep. That they just take things for granted. Yeah, if you're listening to Astros rants, that's what I'm telling you. At times, your team just takes some games, some weekends off, and you guys know you're talented. You'll be there at the end. Your pitching is really elite.
Mm.
But no, I'm not letting the American League West die yet.
All right, I will say bad news, and we'll wait and see what happens here over the next couple of days. I'm sorry, man. I'd like the A's to be dead and buried. And the fact that they've won 17 of their last 21, the fact that they have won 8 of 10, they're the hottest team in baseball. They have yet to lose a game that they have led heading into the 8th inning, thanks to Trevino and Trinan, who've just been nasty at the ends of games. I know you got 10 upcoming up against them in the second half of the year. I would like to see those games not matter at all. So I also have bad news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Seattle Storm have the best record in the WNBA.
How cool is that? That is great news. You know, we didn't get to this story the afternoon, guys. Danny, David, Moore. We're talking about it yesterday. The top 10 list of the 10 most, dynamic or most important athletes in our market. There's good conversation with it. Russell's
Danny
number two.
Danny was mad that Sue Bird was on there.
Yeah, instead of Lauren Jackson. There's probably a debate for that. Lauren was the best player going in the game. Sue has just been, because of her longevity, she's been one of the rare stars in Seattle that has been here through it all and continues to play at a really high level. So keep it going, gals. Great news.
Obviously, really good news. Anytime you're winning in town, that's great for the whole city. So congratulations to them.
Props to Sue Bird, too. Passing the 6,000 point mark.
I saw that.
One of only, six WNBA players to ever do that. And
I shot you guys a note last night. It is pretty remarkable how few stars have stayed here through the duration. And I don't know by comparison in other markets, but when you think about all of the players, especially with the Mariners, with A-Rod and Griffey and so many that moved on, Randy Johnson, the majority of all of their guys have just not been here through and through. Mm. And even the Seahawks, they've had Largent and Walter Jones, but a whole bunch of them. And now Richard moving on. You know, hard to be a star in just one market. That's exactly what Sue has been here.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Jay Cutler and his wife, reality TV stars turned, shoe designer, Kristen Cavallari. They have a new reality TV show called Very Cavallari.
I don't think you would be happy doing what you're doing for the rest of your life. So have you thought about when you do get bored, what you're going to do?
Yeah, no.
Okay, well, maybe you should.
I'm not really looking to do a lot of work right now. Looking to do the exact opposite of that.
For those of you who couldn't hear Jay Cutler mumbling into the microphone, he says, I'm not looking to do a lot of work right now. I'm looking to do the exact opposite of that. No kidding, Jay. Has there ever been anyone who's consistently lived down to his billing like Jay Cutler?
Eric Bedard.
Yes. Okay. They're very similar.
Yes.
I mean, very Cutler's talented. More talented.
Very,
maybe not, though.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you might be right. They might be about the same.
Eric Bedard could do things with a baseball. Like, he could make it move. Jay Cutler had one of the 10 strongest arms in the league.
What frustrates you more? Saul, yesterday you were, expressing a little bit of frustration over Mike Marchma retiring to pursue something
that's
that he really
minor.
Loved.
Yeah.
So, compared to somebody who has this incredible talent and ability
it's kind of not close.
Squanders it.
This is, the Mike Marchma thing. Mike Marchma is a really good dude who's making the right decision for him. I just wonder if one day he'll think back on it and say, man, I had at least a couple more years of being able to play baseball before entering into that part of my life, and I gave up on those years before I needed to. He's not making the wrong decision. I just wonder if he'll regret it one day, but that's up to him. Jay Cutler's how dare you? How dare you have that kind of talent and treat it with such disregard? It's obnoxious.
Your body is a
good news, bad news, no news.
Hey, howdy. Question on Cutler. Sorry, Kyle. Howdy. Is Cutler a good-looking dude? So Howdy's busy doing something.
When he's smoking a cig, or
did Cutler ever make your good looking dude list? Your top, best looking quarterback.
But he has this mysterious, like, I hate everything, I hate the world look that really has got this kind of attractive for people who want to like be with somebody they can save.
Oh,
so
interesting.
Yeah,
right. I get confused. The girl he's with. What's
Cavallari?
Your name again?
Kristen Cavallari of Laguna Beach.
I confuse her and Hayden Panettiere.
Oh, really?
Which one is one of them?
I mean, one's an actress and one's not. But
this girl's not an actress.
No, she's just rich and in a community of rich people.
But wasn't she in a show?
Laguna Beach and then The Hills.
But those aren't. Oh,
but
those
now
are.
Now you're getting into. Well, was Laguna Beach fake?
Okay. But Hayden Panettiere is a real actor. She's the
one. She was Remember the Titans.
Right. She's the girl who grew up from Remember the. Okay.
She married a boxer. Yep. We went over this.
She married a Klitschko.
Yes, one of the Klitschkos.
The height difference is.
And then
amazing.
What about Baldwin, the one that just got engaged
Steven?
To Bieber?
Haley Baldwin.
It was Alec.
Haley Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin.
You know that? Well, it was one of the Baldwin.
But she's not a Baldwin.
She's not.
I don't think
so.
No, she just shares the name.
Oh, really?
She's not. She's certainly not Alex.
She's like Bo Baldwin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's a lesser.
All right.
She's an even lesser Baldwin than Stephen.
Yep. Next.
The 2019 PGA Tour schedule was released, and once again, Seattle will not be having an event.
News.
No surprise.
No news. No surprise.
That
no
is
news.
Bad news. Of course it's no surprise, but that doesn't mean it's not bad news. It would be awesome to have a PGA event here. We talked to Bunker, and I was chatting on Twitter today with Aaron over Q13, and I guess it's hard. I guess it's challenging between the money, corporate sponsorship. They don't want to compete with the Boeing. Like, there's a bunch of different reasons, but it's a huge bummer to me. I would love so much to have a regular tour stop.
I get all of that.
And we deserve one.
Yeah. Can we not say there's a corporate sponsor element? It should be difficult. I mean,
you just have to have somebody.
I know,
wants
but
to
between
pony up.
Amazon and, or, I mean, come on,
somebody's going to want to spend $12 million a year on it. They have to want to do it, right?
They do, but I would think that you would have enough.
And there's
dollars.
Not a great date in the calendar, and you've got some issues with what course you would use,
and weather can be problematic.
I mean, there's a bunch of different reasons why it hasn't.
But Levine kept saying Tacoma area. Is that? Just means Chambers?
I assume he means Chambers.
But why was he being vague?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I would assume, yes, Chambers.
Well, it's a greater university.
But Chambers has a weird, like, as great as Chambers is, it doesn't set up
it's not
great
a spectator
for spectators.
Oh, and it's shot terrible. Yeah.
I'd wear texters my golf shoes just to walk around as a spectator.
Texters all over this saying that Haley Baldwin is Stephen Baldwin's daughter, Alex's niece.
Mm-hmm.
All
thank
right,
you.
Get with it, Saul. Does Stephen do that thing that he did in The Usual Suspects where he's got like both guns at the same time and he somehow shoots them and shoots both
people?
I don't
know, but a very fast dating and engagement with Bieber.
Also,
very
people are saying that she divorced the Klitschko, that's already over.
Oh, it's over.
So we've missed it.
Wow, we are not up to speed.
You know what we are? We are sports fans. We are sports fans.
You missed the best news. If you're going to put it on there at the dark darkest hour, you got to put it on today. You guys threw on that the 12 kids and their coach were caught in the cave in Thailand a couple days ago when things looked dire, and it got really dark here on this show.
Yeah.
It was awful. We thought all these kids were going to die. They are all rescued safely.
Yes!
It is amazing. Woo! I woke up to that news this morning and honestly did like a fist bump, a fist pound in my bed.
I can't wait to read the story. I've already read snippets of it, of these heroes that have gone in there, of the world that just said, no. I am an expert diver. I know that we can save these kids.
And the latest update, including the rescue crew, is out. The SEALs, the doctors, EMTs, everyone is out.
Doctor said everybody
and
else is out before I get out. I mean,
unbelievable,
it's just the number
man.
Of stories of heroism in this are going to be phenomenal.
It is so cool and just so happy that all those kids survived.
A scuba diving doctor. That's a talented guy. A
text message. Sorry, they actually are not divorced. Fake news.
Oh, boy.
Well, jeez.
We got to stop believing.
Who can keep tabs with the
stuff?
Klitschkos and the Panettieres? It's too challenging.
Coach Peters.
I'll tell you what we are going to do. We're going to keep tabs on Gene Segura. How close is he to making his way to this All-Star game? Maybe closer than you think. It's next on Brock and Salk.